Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and today my guest is Dennis Angeline. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, Robert.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Dennis is a program manager in Visual Studio on the Cloud Tools team.
That's right.
That's the current name of the team?
That's what we go by.
Okay. I wasn't going
to
call
it... Part of the Azure SDK.
The Azure... Okay. Yeah. So we've had... I had Nick Harris on... several episodes ago, yeah. He showed us all the new enhancements in the 1.7 SDK. When I spoke to Nick originally, I had said, you know, we should have somebody come on and do like Azure 101, yeah. Right? So what if I'm new to Azure? And don't get me wrong, it was a great episode, and it got 70,000 views, yeah. So, you know.
A little intimidating.
Not that I'm trying to set you up or anything, but it wasn't really the Azure 101 that I had as my original idea. So I asked you to come on, and what we're going to do today is we're basically going to say, as a Visual Studio developer, you've obviously heard of Azure. Maybe you played around with it, you know, 6 months ago. I know that I've created, you know, new subscriptions and played around with it and then put it aside and come back to it months later. So there's been changes in the tools, changes in the portal. So let's do this 101 and let's see how a Visual Studio developer can take advantage of Azure. Sound good?
Sounds great.
That's what we're going to do.
We'll start right from the ground level here.
Excellent.
With an MVC app.
That's what I want to do.
And by the time we're done, we'll have the whole thing running in the cloud, database, the application, and the whole thing.
Perfect.
And then that will give us a good foundation for maybe things we can do in the future about, you know, building on what we then have in the cloud and really starting to take advantage of the platform.
Right. So how do you do it? Why do you do it? What are the benefits? How hard is it? All that kind of stuff.
Cool.
Excellent.
We should cover that today.
Let's do that.
Cool. Okay, so let's get started. So what I have here today to really kind of get us jump started is just a simple MVC app. It's using MVC 4, and it's a simple application that, you know, I use it to track stuff. As I get getting older here, I'm having a hard time remembering where I keep things. So I created this little app here to manage your stuff. And basically what it does is maintain a list of inventory items or of items that you want to keep track of. Mm-hmm. You can give a category and a location to each of the items, and then you can do some filtering. So if I want to see all the items that I keep at my fictitious vacation home, I can just filter by vacation. Or if I want to see only electronics from any location, I can do that.
Okay.
If you look, it's running on localhost right now, just a simple MVC app built out of Visual Studio here. So let's see where we can go with this thing. Now, if you take a look, I'm using a local database here. I'm just using LocalDB, so the database is actually using an MDF file. If you look in the project here in the app data folder, I have the MDF file right here. If we look at our data connections over here, we can actually see, take a peek into that database. You can see I have three tables here, one for categories, locations, and items. And then if I actually look at the model, I'm using the entity framework here. I have a model all set up, and you can see it's just single table with two relationships for the categories and locations. So one of the first steps you're going to want to do is, you know, you need to worry about this database and how you're going to get to your data. Obviously, if you move the application to the cloud and you still have your data on-premise, you're not going to be able to get there. So you got to get that data to the cloud. So one of the first things that you'll want to do is, look at SQL Azure and potentially move this database to SQL Azure. So let's jump over to the portal here and we'll take a look at what it's like to
You could
to
use table storage, of course, but you already have it in SQL Server, so why not use SQL Azure?
Yeah, we could use table storage, and that's one of the things we might want to look at doing down the road. It's probably a more economical way of doing something like this. But that would require some rewriting of the application.
Right.
Today, I'm really just interested in taking what I have and getting it to the cloud as easily as possible. So if you take a look at the new portal here, and I don't know if you've seen this portal before, but this is kind of the new layout, new portal. If you look at the top level here, all items, you'll see that there's a number of different Azure resources that you can deal with, from websites, virtual machines, cloud services, databases, storage, networks. I also have multiple subscriptions so that you can see I have multiple resources. And I'm logged on with my Microsoft account today, and I'm really able to use any of three subscriptions that I have from my single account, because I've had them all co-admin together. So we're going to look at databases to start off with. And I've been playing around with this, so I have three databases already here, but I don't want to cheat, so we're going to start right from scratch. Okay. So let's go ahead and create a
database.
That's
redundancy, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely. That's me testing things out, making sure this is going to work. So let's go ahead and create a new database. So I'm gonna create a new database here, and I'm gonna call it just a place to store my stuff. And I'm just gonna use the web edition. And down here I get to pick a server. Now I can pick one of the existing servers where that database is already, those other databases already reside, or just to start from scratch here, I'm gonna create a new database. So we'll keep the settings the way I have them here. And I'm going to use the MSDN subscription.
Does it matter what subscription you use? Can you create the database on one subscription and the website or service on another subscription and have them talk to each other? Does it matter?
Yeah, you could. You'd have to set up permissions properly. It's generally easiest just to keep it all within the same subscription. Most importantly, though, the same location. Obviously, you want the database to be
the reason
in
I've
a
asked
place
is
where
that I've wound up with two MSDN subscriptions and they're named the exact same thing.
Oh.
And I can't always keep track of which is which.
Yeah, that could be a challenge. I keep mine pretty separate, and then doing the co-admin thing just makes it easy because I log on with one identity and I can work with any of them. So I got to create a login name here. And provide a password. And I'm going to create it in the West region. That's where I'm going to actually deploy this thing. And this is something that you're going to want to be thinking about as well. In this case, I need to make sure that the cloud service that we're going to create ultimately is able to talk to this database. And this is this checkbox is basically just saying, allow any Azure cloud service to talk to this database once it gets instantiated.
Okay.
So I'll go ahead and create that. Now, that's actually creating a new server and a new database. It'll just take a second here, and you'll see that it was actually created.
Yep.
So we'll go in here, and we have our database here. Let's actually go back and take a look at the server. Now, one of the things, So the server that we're going to be working with is this one here, the PR1. The name that gets created, the name that gets assigned to a new server is kind of a funky name like this that you kind of have to deal with. So when I go over here and look at servers, I'm going to look for that same server here. Now, one of the things that usually trips people up when they're doing this is getting access to the database during development time. So I have a database now living up in Azure, but it's not going to let anybody through the firewall. It's going to be very restrictive in how you get to it. It will allow other cloud services that are running in Azure to talk to it, but it's not going to allow me to access that database from this laptop here on a corporate network. Okay, so what I need to do is open a firewall port and basically give access to that database from here. So I'm just going to say create a firewall rule here that says I can access this thing from work. And I could put that IP address of this machine, the exact IP address, but I find that things kind of tend to bounce around a little bit here. So it's safe to just kind of give a port range.
Okay.
That way I'm sure that I'm going to get that. So now I have a firewall rule set up for that range of IP addresses. I'll go ahead and save that. And so now we have
the machine you're on can talk to that database, which of course you need to be able to do to look at it.
Right, not to run the app, just to manage the database. Actually, we have a database out there, but we don't have any tables or anything created at this time. So in order to be able to run it from the emulator or debug it or anything, I need to have access from this laptop. So once it's in production, you might want to remove this or restrict a range or something like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we have that server created. I'm going to actually come down here and grab its DNS name while I'm here. And we have our database as well called My Stuff, but there's no tables or anything created.
Right.
So let's go back to Visual Studio now. Now I already have this local database here. It'd be nice if I could just take the schema from this thing and you know, prime the database up in Azure and get started with it. Now, there's a number of ways to do this. There's some tools out there. I know there's a project on CodePlex that'll allow you to just point up the source database and target database. An easy way I found to do it is just to do this. If you're using the Entity Framework, you just go into Generate Database from Model. Okay. If you look, it's pointing at the local DB that I have now. So I'm going to just go ahead and create a new connection.
Oh, that is a cool trick.
I'm going to point at the database we just created. I'm pointing at the server.
Yeah. So you're going to connect to the SQL Azure database, right?
Right. Okay. And I want the entry, a new connection string created in the web config.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go ahead and do that. We'll run the DDL. Connect to that database again. Oops. Okay. And now if we look over here, we have a new new entry created. So if I look at my web config, now I have a new connection string out here for the database that's pointing to SQL Azure.
Okay, so one to the local database, one to the SQL Azure database.
Right, and if we look, we have all the Entity Framework stuff up front, and you can see this one's pointing to all my stuff in the local DB.
Right.
And then we have one up here pointing to the server that we just created. Okay.
Okay, cool.
So if you know Entity Framework that well, you know that the way they create, way they use the connection strings is in the context object. So I'm going to open up the context, the DB context for the Entity Framework. And this tells us what database to go to. So I'm just going to change that to the name that we just created. That's the same name that we're using right here.
Mm-hmm.
And now we'll go ahead and run the app. And it should run still locally here, but using the data coming from SQL Azure. And of course, there's no data in there. So if we look here, we'll see categories are empty, items are empty. So let me go ahead and create a category. We'll be using this for the rest of the demo here. And a location. And let's add an item real quick. And a laptop. I see you're using a Lenovo too there.
Yep, I got 520, I got an XT20. And then I have Lenovo's at home, too.
Cool. So now we have the data. It's actually living in SQL Azure now. So let's go out of here now. Take a look over here and look at the database. If we look here, look at items, show the data that's actually in the table, and we'll see there's a laptop that we just created. Cool. So that showed us how to get the database schema from the local DB up into Azure. We created the database there and then retargeted our app to actually consume the data from there. So now let's go back and back into our project here and see what the next step would be. So
are there scenarios where you would leave it like this, where you would host the website locally on-premise maybe and have the data living in Azure as opposed to putting the website itself up in Azure?
Yeah, I think that might be a scenario if, just for some reason you don't want to have that database living locally. Maybe it's for geodistribution, for having access from multiple sites throughout the world within your organization, from different
locations.
Or you're
at a customer that didn't use SQL Server locally, so I'm just going to put the data in the cloud and so you use SQL Azure without telling them.
Right. Or it could even be a mobile app, right? And
you just
want the database in the cloud. So.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, so that might be a...
So it's a valid scenario.
A place to end right there for some scenarios, right. Cool. But we're going to go a step further.
Yes. So
we're going to actually now take the application and we want to actually host the app in the cloud as well. So now that we got that going. So one of the first things we'll want to do is what we call Azurefy, or add an Azure project to this Visual Studio solution. So to go ahead and do that, I'll just click on the solution here and say, add Windows Azure Cloud Service. Now, if you were creating this a cloud service from scratch, you would go about this differently. You would say new project, you would pick a cloud project here, and then go through the wizard, the project creation wizard, to create a new cloud project. You can create an MVC project, and you know, with a cloud project in it as well, that you can deploy to Azure. Yep. But we're going that different route. We want to take this existing application. So I'm just going to go here and go to add Windows Azure Cloud Service project. And it's actually going to add a new project to our solution. So if you look down here, it added a new project. It's called inventory.azure. Now, it's important to note that we didn't do anything to the MVC project that's here. It's still exactly the same. And in fact, it's not even, we're not doing anything at all different. When I run this thing, it's still going to run locally here for the moment. But we just added this new Azure Cloud Service to the solution as well. If you see, we have one role. It's an inventory role. Mm-hmm. That comes from the project that I have here. So it's going to be a web role. That runs in Azure. And really what the cloud project does is it adds a service model for us. So if we look at this, it added three new configuration files, three new XML files. There's no code in this project at all. Right. We're simply using the code that's already in your existing project. If you look at these, the service definition file just tells you about the web roles or the roles that exist in your project. Mm-hmm. And we have editors I'm going to show you in a minute to manage all this stuff. But I just want to kind of show you what the cloud project consists of. And then two configuration files, a local one and a cloud configuration file. One will be used when it's running locally and one will be used when it's running in the cloud. Now, if you don't like messing with XML, that's great. That's fine because you can just click on that role there, and it brings up the service management user interface, which really is just a UI over top of those XML files. And this is where you would really configure the roles and how they run when deployed to Azure. So if we take a look here, you can see that one of the first things I wanted to show you before we go too far is looking at the project properties for the cloud project. We can see what version of the tools we're using.
Okay.
And so we're using the June release. We just released this release in June. And so if it's if you're curious what release you're using in your project, you can tell from right here.
Okay.
We also support side by side of multiple releases. So if you may have had an application that you built with the 1.7 or the November release of the SDK, or one that was built with, the 1.7 release, this one, or the 1.6 release that came out in November of last year. And those tool sets can all live side by side. If this was a 1.6 or a November application, I would see an upgrade button here and I'd be able to upgrade it to 1.7. And really what that does is it just gives you we did add references to your project right here. So if you look in the references, you'll see some references to some Windows Azure assemblies here. Those were added to your project, but the code hasn't been altered at all. So by upgrading, you would get different client library assemblies and a different tool set. So there may be new functionality in those client libraries that you want to take advantage of. So so let's take a look at what we have here. So there's some basic configuration for the role or for the instance. You can adjust the instance count and the size. You can set whether it's using HTTP or TPS. You can specify a storage account, and we won't get into storage accounts too much yet, but it's basically just storage up in the cloud where your actual package is deployed to and where it actually lives in Azure when you're doing the deployment.
Okay.
So you can specify a storage account for diagnostic information and specify what storage accounts are being used in that case. We're going to look at settings here as well. This setting is here automatically. It's, again, just the storage account that is going to be used for diagnostics. We'll come back and look at some more settings in a little bit here. If there are any other endpoints on your application, of course, now it's just an MVC app. It's just using port 80. If it was WCF or something like that and you needed additional endpoints or you wanted to configure these differently, you could do that here. You can set up some local storage. This is non-durable storage that just exists for this role.
Local, literally local, or local in Azure?
Local in Azure, so local to that VM running. So if your application just needs some scratch area, temporary storage to work with, it's not durable storage.
Okay.
You can set that up here. If you had certificates that you want to install for SSL purposes, you can set them up here. If you wanted to set up a virtual network with your corporate Enterprise, you can do that here. And then one of the new features that we added in as a preview in the 1.7 release is the ability to enable caching, where you can mm-hmm. have a shared memory cache that you're using across multiple roles within your application. Okay. Again, another area that we might want to pursue in the future. But for right now, we're just going to take this application and get it running as it is. So first thing I want to do is I want to show you that I want to set the startup project. Notice the startup project is the cloud project right now. If I set the startup project back to the MVC project, mm-hmm. it'll just run locally as an MVC app running in IIS, okay? It's the startup project that really controls how it's going to be running when you execute it. So I'll set it back to here just to kind of speed this up here. And go ahead and run it. So we're going to actually run it in a local emulator now. And I want to set a breakpoint here for us. Just so we can actually see this thing running in the emulator. So we're going to go ahead and start it. Need to run as an administrator, so let me just start that again. Okay, so I set the breakpoint and let it run. Now, because it's a cloud project, this is actually going to run in an emulator now. If we can take a look at the emulator, it's actually right down here. Mm-hmm. We can see, bring up the UI for the emulator. We can see what's happening. Now, I didn't get it started quick enough there, but we could have saw those instances starting up. We'll see that we just had it configured for one instance. Mm-hmm. And so this is the web role actually running in a VM in the local emulator here. We can see how things are going. If you had trace messages or things like that, you'd see that information being displayed here. If you had multiple instances, you'd see them spun up here in the emulator. We go back to the application. It's running on a local address here. But it's still using that Azure database that's in the cloud. So it's running in the emulator locally. It's a cloud project running in the emulator using the database that's running in SQL Azure.
Okay.
So if I go here and just set a breakpoint on the filter. So when I change the filter, I can actually hit the breakpoint. Actually can step through the code here, do anything I want, and have a pretty typical development experience, even though this is running in an emulator here. So this would be kind of the next step that you would take if you're moving this application to the cloud. You want to get things running locally here in the emulator, iron out any problems that you might have before you actually go and do a deployment. So everything good there. We're going to go and actually do a deployment now. So again, I'll come back here to the cloud project. When I want to actually publish it to Azure, I'll just click on Publish.
Okay. So you publish the cloud project, not the MVC project.
Right, exactly. Okay. So think of this, a lot of people think of this as the deployment project for your entire solution. Mm-hmm. So when I actually do the publish here, it's going to package up everything needed, the MVC project and any other projects. There could be multiple roles here. If I had additional roles, web or worker roles, they could be listed here. And the deployment project will package it all up, ship it up to Azure and spin up the instance and get it running in the cloud. Now I want to talk a bit about the publishing process and the credentials needed. So when you're actually interfacing with the Azure platform or the service management API, like Visual Studio is in this case, it uses a set of a management certificate, a certificate-based form of authentication. Obviously, it's not a user-based authentication. It's not a user identity that is actually doing the publish. You get a certificate, and then that certificate is authorized to publish to a particular subscription. Mm-hmm. Now, one way, there's multiple ways that you can deal with these certificates. One easy way, and the way we recommend, is to actually click on this link here. And I'm not going to do it right now because we're in the process of changing identity systems here at Microsoft.
Okay.
And there might be some issues if I actually do it. But what will happen here is if I actually click on the link, I would go to the portal. It would bring me to a download page, and it would initiate a download of a file called a publish settings file. That publish settings file has all of your subscriptions, one mm-hmm. or more subscriptions, and it will generate, the Azure will generate a management certificate for those subscriptions for you on your behalf.
Okay.
And it will then download the certificate with the private key information in that published settings file and make it available to you here. So you click on that link, you download this published settings file, it would have one or more subscriptions and credentials for publishing to those subscriptions in it, and then you could import it directly from
you can go to the portal and get that.
When you click on that link, it's actually going to take you to the portal and download it.
Okay.
Now for websites, you're right. There is a link on there to actually get the published settings file, but that's a slightly different published settings file. This is for cloud services.
Okay.
And if you use PowerShell to do any publishing, or Node.js, they all use the same. They all use the same published settings file, basically an XML file with subscription information and credentials in it. One thing to be aware of, though, is each time you click on that, it generates a new set of credentials for you, a new management cert, and there's a limit of 10. So if you click on this link 10 times, you're going to get 10 certificates generated, and you're going to exhaust your limit, in which case you'll have to go to the portal and then delete some of those certificates. Another way of doing it, so you can see I've already done that, and I've imported credentials for all three of my subscriptions. Another way of doing it, and it depends on your organization, but you may download the published settings file directly, like I'm showing here. It may be that you're a dev manager or somebody has the published settings file with like the department's management certificate and issues that to you and all the devs on your team. So you may get a published settings file through some other mechanism. And then the third way is to actually come in here and create a certificate on your own. If you have a specialized certificate that's signed with you know your signature authority or publishing authority, then you can get that certificate. Specify it here, and then you'd have to actually take that and manually install it in the Azure portal as well. So three different approaches. Generally, people are just go the simple route and use that published settings file. So I have three subscriptions here now. I'm going to publish to my MSDN subscription that I used before. It's going to go out there and actually look at the portal and see what subscriptions I have, if I come back, or what cloud services I already have. It'll find these two, one called All My Stuff Production and one called All My Stuff Test. We could deploy to those if this was a sub, you know, we wanted to just update those bits, but we're going to start from scratch here, so we're going to do a new deployment. We're going to say, let me call it More Stuff. I'm going to tell it I want it in the West region. I'll click OK. It'll go out and validate that name and make sure it's unique and make sure I can publish there. I'm going to pick the environment that I publish to. Now, I you know, don't really advise that people publish to a production environment like that, although you can. So I'm going to switch this to a staging environment. I'll tell you how we recommend using staging and publishing in just a minute. But for right now, I'm going to publish to a staging environment. I'm going to publish a release build, and I'm going to use my cloud configuration. Okay. We'll come back to that configuration in a little bit. I'm also going to enable a remote desktop so that I can RDP into that session later on. And notice I'm going to provide some credentials so that I can RDP in, and I can set an expiration date for those credentials as well. So if I only want them to be valid for a certain period of time, I can do that. And if I go to Advanced tab, there's some other options here. So there's a deployment label that just lets us differentiate this deployment from a deployment I might do from an hour from now. I can specify the storage account where my package is actually going to be uploaded to before it's installed in Azure. Mm-hmm. And then I can pick some other options here for how the deployment is updated and what happens if there's a deployment failure, and enabling profiling and IntelliTrace. I'm just going to leave all that as is. You just enabled RDP, and we'll go ahead and initiate the publish. So we'll see the build gets kicked off here, and we'll see the publishing process start in just a minute. It's going to take about 5 minutes or 8 minutes for the publish to actually happen. As soon as it starts here, we're going to take a look at what's happening. So we can see the progress here as it updates. We'll wait for that progress bar to get to the end. But in the meantime, let's go ahead and take a look at some other things here. So I'm going to jump over to the portal. In a minute here, we should see a new cloud service being created.
Is it already there?
More stuff. Okay. It's there. Mm-hmm. And shortly we'll see the status of the staging slot change to deploying here. But let's go to, I already have these in the oven, and we'll take a look at the instances that I've already created. So you'll notice that I have a test and a production mm-hmm. cloud service. And there's a lot of confusion in, you know, talking to customers about how to use staging slots and how to use and how to actually test your application. And really, what a lot of folks tend to be doing is they'll deploy to the staging slot. You'll notice there's a production and a staging slot for each cloud service. And then they'll try or they're doing testing on that staging instance with the idea that once things are good, they'll move it to production. That's one approach. The problem with the staging slot, though, is that you don't get, if we look at the URL here, that's assigned to the staging slot. So this is all my stuff-test. I'm going to look at the staging slot for that particular cloud service, and the URL has a GUID in it, okay? Mm. Makes it hard to do testing because the GUID changes with each new with each service, and so you don't really have a static name that you can bind against, okay? So really the way we recommend using the staging slot is really just for staging, not for testing. You might do some just sanity testing there or smoke tests, but it's a staging area. It's where you're going to upload the bits to. You're going to do some sanity test, just some basic testing, and then you're going to swap it into production.
Ah, okay.
And the way you do that is with this swap, by doing a VIP swap here. So you can see I have a production instance of this particular service and a staging, an instance of this service and staging and production. When I do swap, it actually just swaps those around.
Okay.
So if I'm pushing an update, I would push it to the staging slot, test it out, and then swap it into production. Now the actual deployment might take 5 or 8 or 10 minutes, okay, but this VIP swap happens pretty quickly, on the order of seconds. And so I can get everything up into the staging slot, check it out, make sure everything looks good, VIP swap it into production, and my production site is only impacted for a matter of seconds.
Okay.
And the really nice thing is, if something should go wrong, the swap actually moves what was in the production back into staging. And so if there was actually a problem, I can just VIP swap again, and I'm back where I was, in a matter of seconds. I can kind of undo the update that
so
I just published.
The first time you publish, you have something in staging but nothing in production.
Right.
And you swap, you now have something in production but nothing in staging?
Right.
Okay, so then...
Now I publish again.
Then you publish again, you've got the old version in production, the new version in staging.
Right.
Then you swap.
Just swap them.
Now new is in production, old is in staging.
Right.
If something goes wrong, you can bring the old version back.
Just swap again.
Right.
And in 10
okay.
seconds, you've
got
basically
it.
Restored
okay.
and undone, it's an undo for your public.
Right.
Okay. Now you might ask why test and production. That's a matter of preference, but we find that, having a separate instance for your test team to actually hammer on is a good technique.
Mm-hmm.
And you would do the same thing there. You would push to the staging slot of your test instance. You might use a technique where, the test team is going to pound on it for a day, and then at midnight you're going to VIP swap. So and swap the new version, the new daily build into the production slot of the test.
Can you
instance,
swap?
Right?
Okay, so you don't swap things that are in production. You just point to the one that's in production, right? So you're saying you would upload the test version of staging, smoke test it, VIP swap that to production. It's the test version. Your testers bang on it.
Yeah.
Now that it's done, you want that to be the new production version.
Right. Yeah. No, you can't swap it into production.
Okay, so you just
got
to redeploy
it. Deploy that to production.
Right.
But it gives you a completely separate, full-blown instance,
right.
Okay, to test against. With the staging instance, it may not be scaled properly to the same levels that you want. Because that URL is different, it's not actually like... a static endpoint like mm-hmm. the production instances. So let's take a look here. Let me just see how we're progressing here.
Almost done.
Yeah, we're getting there. One other thing I wanted to show you here. So in the production instance here, if I go to configure, you'll see many of the same things that we saw in those configuration files here. If there were settings for the application or certificates, you'd be able to deal with them here and mm-hmm. upload them or change settings here. You can specify the OS family that's being used, and this was another value in those configuration files if you want to use 2008 R2 or 2008
SV2. And 2012 SV2. Will be relatively soon?
And 2012, you know, will be out there relatively soon.
Relatively soon, okay.
Yeah, as another option for you. We can scale this up. Right now, we're just running one core.
At that point, Azure would support the 4.5 framework.
That's correct.
Because right now, you build to the 4.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the new 2012 will have the 4.5 framework, and that will introduce a new OS family in the configuration file. The value is called OS family. It'll be an OS family 3. If you build a 4.5 application, it'll automatically target the OS family 3 or the 2012 server. So we can scale this up. You may want to have your staging instance at one core and then scale up your production instances to many cores. And we can look at certificates and everything here as well. So let's say if we're done here. Still waiting. Okay. We'll let that go a little bit longer. Let me show you. I want to show you something else while we're waiting for that deployment to complete. So we looked earlier at the settings here. And when I enabled remote desktop, it added a few more settings to my project.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get rid of this. Basically, just information about how to actually encrypt the password for doing that remote session. But what a lot of folks want to do is, if you're building an MVC app, you're typically creating settings in a web config file. And so you go to a cloud scenario, and you have to suddenly deal with these cloud configuration files. So there's a really clean way of handling configuration that works both locally in the emulator, in the cloud, and you can have different settings for depending on where you're actually installed. So let's actually go in here and modify this application a little bit. So I'm just going to come in here. This is the home page index view on the home page, and I'm just going to create some markup here. And I'm going to grab a property out of the view bag, the message property. I'm just going to display it there. And I'm going to go to the controller here. The home controller. And I'm going to take this thing. And so when we're looking at the index view, I'm going to display the message. But I'm not going to display that message. I'm going to display a different. Use the Cloud Configuration Manager, which is in the Windows Azure namespace, and I'm just going to call get settings, and I'm going to get a setting called app message. Okay. So basically, that's going to read the setting and display it in that on that home page. Okay.
Anytime the publishing has completed.
It completed. Okay. So let's take a look at that. So we'll come back to that.
Doesn't seem to, when you're spending the time talking, it goes by pretty quickly. You're just sitting there watching it takes forever, oddly enough.
So let's go back and see where we are here. So if I go to more stuff here, into the staging slot.
There it is.
Come down here. And notice that URL is the big long GUID there.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a little while to spin up the first instance there, but if everything's correct.
So this
correct,
is the MVC app running in Azure. In the staging.
Right. In the staging slot, and we're using that SQL Azure database.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually fully in the cloud right now. So we poke around, everything looks good. Let's check out our filters. Yep, everything's working.
Cool.
So we're gonna say that's enough testing. We're gonna go with it.
Oh yeah, it's completely rigorously tested at this point.
So we'll swap it into production. And it's going to actually, so there's nothing in our current production. Right.
So it waits, it says VIP three times before telling you what VIP stands for.
Yeah, virtual IP address, right. So that's the IP address that's exposed publicly as opposed to the DIP or the dynamic IP, which is internal. Okay. And so this is what's in the staging slot, this is what's in the production slot, there's mm-hmm. nothing in the production slot. Imagine we had done this multiple times, right. It would be something, our running instance in the production yep. slot. I'm going to say, okay, let her rip. And it's going to take just a little while here, and we'll see something in the production slot. If we go back here, we should see transitioning. We might wait on this one. Shouldn't be too all that long. We'll go back in here, and then if I go to the production instance, we have a URL here now.
Is it still working, or is it done? Looks like it's still working.
Is that? And there we go. So we got more stuff.
Oh, it's done. Okay. Yep. So go back to the portal for a second. The one with the three green things in the lower right, what is that?
Right. Oh, that's just a message area. So if I actually want to see the message, it's still swapping. Still saying swapping. But it's up enough for me to actually hit it.
Okay.
If I had, that just means I have one message. If I had, taken multiple actions, I might have two or three messages queued up there. It's a little bit of a lag on actually letting you know that it's been swapped. But,
cool. So that's it. So the app's in the cloud.
It's in the cloud. We're fully there.
Cool.
So let's just finish up this last thing here. So I have that app settings. Now, if I'm an MVC developer, I'm going to come back here, and I would go into the app settings. This is what I would be familiar with doing, and I would add a value with a key of app message. I better spell it right.
Yeah.
And a value of running an IIS Express, because if I'm running it, if I'm reading a web config, I must not be in the cloud. I'm running it in IIS Express. Okay. The way you would do that similar thing with your cloud app is to come down here to settings, and I'm going to create a new setting here called app message.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm going to set a value of running in Azure. Okay. Now that would be cool, but what I'd really like to know is if I'm running in the emulator locally or running in the cloud for real. Okay. So I can come up here to the configuration, and I can say, right now what I'm editing is all configurations, but mm-hmm. I can say, I want something a little different for my local configuration, and I'm going to say running in the Azure emulator. Okay, so now for the local configuration, the value is that. For the cloud configuration, the value is running in Azure.
Mm-hmm.
And for the web config configuration, it's running in IIS. So let's just take a look at what's going to happen now. So if I go back here and I make this the startup project, okay, and I run this thing. We should see that message. Running on IIS Express.
Very good.
Okay. If I close this, come back down here, make this the startup project, run it again. I'm running in the emulator now. You'll see the emulator's down here. See those instances start up. And now it says running in the Azure emulator. And we won't go through another publish,
right, because you'd have to publish
that
it up,
again
right.
to the cloud. We would see it saying running in Azure.
Now it's smart enough to only publish the changes, isn't that correct? It doesn't. Does it publish the whole thing or just the changes?
No. Under some circumstances, it can publish just changes, but for the most part, it's repackaging the whole thing.
Okay.
It's all a matter of whether it needs to restart the roles or not.
Got it.
If reprovision the roles. Some cases you can get away without reprovisioning the roles, and others it has to go ahead and reprovision. Depends on what you're changing in the configuration, like if you're changing the instance count and that sort of thing.
If you make changes to the code?
It's pushing the entire package up and redeploying it to that thing. And I want to show you one last thing here. So we enabled RDP when we built that app. So I can come in here, and if we look, I'm looking at more stuff, which is the instance that I just created, right? And I'm going to go in here and add deployment. More stuff. I'm going to look at the production instance. So I can actually see my production service running here now, and I can see I have one instance of it. And if I want to connect to that instance, I can just right-click on there, connect using RDP. Now I use the credentials that I provided earlier. And then I should get right into the VM running that particular role. Now you can also, you know, we'll talk later about storage accounts. If we go back here, you can see the storage accounts I have, service bus namespaces, virtual machines, and such. And so now I'm RDP'd into that machine.
Cool. So now you can look at the system logs and
event log, IIS logs, anything you need to, anything else you need to see there. You're in.
Cool.
And then virtual machines as well. So this is kind of a good starting point. Mm-hmm. You've just taken that MVC app, moved it incrementally to the cloud, got everything running in the cloud using the SQL Azure database. Just one web role.
It's just getting easier and easier.
Yeah, but you're really not taking advantage of the Azure platform yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're just using it as a web host. You're running a web role there and hosting a database. Where we can go from here is, you know, really looking at some additional services. You mentioned table storage and other storage formats or media that we can use. We can do queuing and have multiple roles. So, you know, these cloud services are really designed for multi-tier applications where you have components that are interacting with one another through a queuing-based mechanism. And so, you know, one of the things we might look at doing from here is adding worker roles that do certain things or take certain actions under certain conditions.
But even if all you want to do is get your data in the cloud, right? So you want, here's a simple MVC application that you want to be able to access from work, from home, from your mobile device, from anybody's computer that has internet, the best way to do that is to put it in Azure. Yes, you could go to a web hoster, and, you know, now are they running, do they have SQL, even abstracting from the cost, the benefit to Azure is I know that this is SQL Azure, and I know this is Windows Server 2008, soon to be 12, and I know it's the latest stuff. It's the same programming environment that I'm used to. There's no question about, do I get a SQL Server? Yes, you get a SQL Server, and it's literally SQL Azure.
Absolutely.
So I think for that, I mean, this is just
really
easy.
The thing you alluded to there, the platform's taken care of for you.
Yeah.
Right? Service packs are installed. You know, you don't have to worry about security issues. You don't own the hardware. You don't have to maintain the hardware. You don't have to service anything.
Right.
It's all taken care of for you. You're just literally deploying.
And you don't have to wonder if the hoster is up to date with the latest versions. You know they are.
And then the really, you know, really powerful feature is that I can scale this thing out now, right? So I'm only running one instance now. Mm-hmm. That's not very typical for a production environment. But if I wanted to scale this out to, say, five instances here to really handle some load, or I want to do that, seasonally, right? Just during the Christmas season or something like that, or the holiday season, I can scale it up, scale it down, and I'm only being charged for what I use.
Right.
And then the redundancy, the scalability, the redundancy to be able to have multiple locations throughout, you know, in different sites. This is running in the West region right now. I could have an instance of this running in Europe, on the East Coast.
Not to mention, you built it in Visual Studio. You published it from Visual Studio.
Absolutely.
So it's
You know what? And another cool thing here is we didn't talk about storage that much, but there's also a lot of scenarios where, you know, you're just moving the data to the cloud, and you can still have your mobile app or your rich client app that's pulling data from the cloud, and now the data is always accessible, kind of like a SkyDrive type thing, right? Where your app is running locally, whether it's on your phone, on your desktop, or in the cloud, but the data is always in one place and it's always accessible. So that's a cool place that, you know, an area that we might want to go next with this application and things that folks might want to consider if they're just want to get to the cloud and start toying around with things.
Sure. So. Now there's another option that we didn't talk about, and that's the idea of hosting this as a cloud service versus just putting it on an Azure website.
Right.
Right.
So there's really three flavors of compute in Azure. There are websites, okay, cloud services, and then recently we added virtual machines in last update and last release. So websites are really meant for a shared hosting type environment, right? It's not for a multi-tier app. It's not for an application that has multiple components that are trying to interact or communicate. It's really strictly designed for web hosting.
So then this app could have easily gone on a website.
This app could have.
So the question is, does it need to be a worker, a web role, and what's the difference, and when would you choose one over the other?
Right. Yeah. This app, what we did here today, could have just as well been done as a website. If we wanted to kind of build on this, though, and add worker roles or add some other functionality, we'd probably run into some
limitations. So let's actually do that. You can publish this as a website.
Yeah.
It's pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah, you want to give it a try?
Yeah, do it.
Okay, let's give it a try. You're really pushing the limits now. Okay, let's see. We'll do a quick create, and I'm going to say more stuff, too. We'll do it. And actually, I think there's only the East region available. Okay. We'll go with the East.
I'm from the East. I love the East.
I'm from the East, too.
All right, then.
So let's see here.
Okay.
So let me actually go in here now. Now, I talked earlier about a publish settings file.
Mm-hmm.
With a website, I could download a publish profile here. So we just created an empty site there now. We don't have any content. So this publish profile here, actually provides the information that I would need to publish to that site. So
it's in your downloads folder, right?
So yeah, put in my downloads folder. So let's go back here now. I think even though I have a cloud project, this should work just fine. So I'll publish now. It's a bit confusing, but I'm going to publish using this other publish dialog, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm publishing now from the MVC app,
right,
not from the cloud project, okay? And I'm going to go ahead and get to publish the profile that we just downloaded. And I downloaded it too. So we'll grab
that. So you downloaded it twice. Did it create two different credentials or just use the same credentials?
I think it probably has the same credentials
So you didn't just waste
we're
a
working
credential,
on thin ice
right?
Here,
one of your tens.
I don't think I burned a set of credentials there. Now, if I had done it with a cloud service, I would have burned a set of credentials there. And like I said, there's a limit of 10. That limit's going up to 25. So at a certain point, you'll get a message saying you have no more credentials.
Okay. So it's got a slightly different URL, morestuff2.azurewebsites.net.
Yeah.
Yep.
So let's go ahead and go through this here. I think the connection string that we have there in the MVC app may work already.
Should.
Yep. So I'm not going to mess with this. So let's go ahead and click Start Publish. Now this is using Web Deploy, same thing that you would use to deploy to a local IIS server. That's the same technology there. It's actually going to go up and talk to the instance, the website in Azure, see what bits are there, and see what needs to be updated. In this case, there's nothing there, so everything needs to be added. So we'll go ahead and add it.
So this one is smart enough to only send up the changes.
It is.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. I knew one of them was, I hate to use the word smart enough because it implies the other one's not smart. This has the feature.
The other one's powerful, but not smart. This is but less powerful.
See, there it is.
There we go.
As a website.
That. Cool. So now
so you could have just started from the MVC app, never added the
cloud service.
The cloud service.
Yeah.
And published it directly as a web app.
Right.
So
website.
Website. Right. Yeah. So talk about the difference again, just so everybody's clear.
Yeah.
This would be the absolute easiest way to do it.
Right.
Right. You got your MVC app. It runs fine. You publish it to an Azure website. It still runs fine. It's talking to SQL Azure.
So I didn't need to update those connection strings there or anything. Yeah, I'm not really the expert on websites and the advantages, disadvantages. I'm really kind of focused on cloud services.
But for maximum scalability, for multi-tier, with additional worker roles and the service bus and all the power of Azure, then you're going to make it a cloud service.
Right.
For just getting some data into the cloud, this is probably... this is probably an easier way to go.
Absolutely.
Not that what we did before was difficult, but this is the easiest way to go.
Yeah. And in this case, the database, and actually, it would be even easier because we created the database in SQL Azure, and with the website deployment, I have the ability to actually publish the database as well, right, with the application.
Okay.
And this is, like I said, this isn't really one of the areas I work in, but it's slick, and you can take the database changes, that application and everything.
All right, cool.
But then another option also that we don't talk too much about, if you really want to kind of look at everything here, is to use a virtual machine as well. And in this case, we can just spin up a virtual machine.
Mm-hmm.
You just get the VM in the cloud. You can do whatever you want on that VM. It's durable. It's going to stay around. I can spin up as many of them as I want. I have the option of installing IIS in there, or activating IIS, installing SQL Server. I can actually spin up a VM. If we can go here and try to create one. And I have a number of different images that I can choose from. So I can choose an image with BizTalk Server, or with just Windows Server 2008, 2012. I can even choose a variation that has Linux on it. And what I get here is just that compute instance, the VM, and I'm free to install what I want, do what I want. I can have web deploy running on this thing, and I can web deploy my application to a VM just as easily as well. So there's really three options there that you have to choose from, and for different scenarios.
Right.
If you have a legacy application that makes heavy use of the file system and expects certain file layouts or uses other local resources, the VM approach would be the way to go. It's really just how much of the stack do you want control of. In a website scenario, you just have control over kind of the top level of the stack and what's provided by IIS. Whereas with the cloud services, you get a little more functionality, and VMs, you have the whole VM available to you.
So this is exactly what I wanted.
Cool. Well, we really pushed the limit there. You tested me on the websites. Good thing I played with that a little bit before, but. Yeah, I'm glad.
I've actually done it as recently as a few days ago,
so
I kind of knew it worked.
We had it. You had my back.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I try not to invite guests on the show and then toss them over the cliff and see what happens.
Well, it all worked
out. All right,
cool.
So if you are new to Azure, or if you are new to this latest round of Azure, I think this is exactly the kind of intro that I wanted to have. So now you know how easy it is to take existing applications. We took an MVC app, we sent it up to Azure, we did both as a website and as a cloud service.
Yep. And the database.
Yep. The website easier, the cloud service gets the full power of Azure. Easy to do, it's never been this easy. It just keeps getting easier and easier.
Yeah.
If you played with Azure a year ago and now you looked at this now, you're like, wow.
Absolutely.
It's way easier, way
better.
And
we tweaked around with a lot of settings and stuff like that, or a little code. So, we probably could have done this in 15 minutes, half hour maybe.
Why would we do that?
Kind of buzzed right through it, so.
That's no fun. All right. So I hope you enjoyed that, and we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.